Thank you, Pastor Beulah. Praise God and welcome to everyone who is online with us tonight. I welcome you to day 17, day number 17 of 30 days of planting the heavens. I know the Lord has been good to you. I know the Lord is working, and everything that He's doing in your life in this season, I prophesy and I declare it will be permanent in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 I'm going to ask that you will kindly get your 2015 confessions and let's take it together so we can go into the Word of God. There's much ground for us to try to cover tonight as the Holy Spirit helps us. So if you have your confession, let's take it together. 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to say. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing never end. Welcome heaven. Welcome Eden. I have no time to be God.
No more crime, no more righteousness,
peace, and
joy, in the Holy God,
in my life, crying, no more whining,
and
all death, disease,
sorrow,
sickness,
brings forth her blood,
is
and the burning
covers his finally
morning.
I will bring out of my life.
I am
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis and chapter 26. Genesis and chapter 26. Last night, by the goodness of the Lord and the special grace of God, we started to learn and be reminded about the power and mystery of God-given opportunity. Beloved, for everything God will do in your life and in my life, He must create opportunity first. And when opportunity is created, we must recognize it and we must be determined to maximize it. If opportunity is not recognized, or if opportunity is not maximized, destiny can be aborted. This is so important. This is so very important. We have never really learned as a people the power and the mystery of God-given opportunity. If opportunity is not recognized, or if opportunity is not maximized, destiny can be aborted. I'm going to say that again because I believe that is from the Holy Spirit, and I want you to take a moment and write it down in your notebook, if you have a notebook or a journal. If opportunity is not recognized, or if opportunity is not maximized, destiny can be aborted. I pray that your destiny will not be aborted in Jesus' mighty name. Beloved, everything God wants to do in your life is put in capsules of opportunity. Opportunity is the open door to destiny. We learned that yesterday. It's the open door into the seasons, the different seasons of life that culminate in destiny. God said in Revelations 3, 7 and 8, He said, I am the one who can open a door and no man can shut. I can shut it and no man can open. And I have set before you an open door. I have set before you an open door. Well, what do we do with the open door God sets before us? Number one, we have to recognize it. We have to see, there is an open door there. Maybe we've been knocking on windows. Maybe we've been banging on a fence. Can't get in. But look, there is an open door there. What do? We recognize the open door. When we recognize the open door, what do we do next? We maximize it. How? We enter in. Failure to enter in to the open door that God has given to us can mean a life of suffering and pain, even though God already made a provision for escape. Can you imagine? In the cold winter, as cold as sometimes it gets here in Ohio, some of you might be joining us from different parts of the country, I recognize that, but in Ohio, sometimes our winter can be brutal. Can you imagine how disastrous to walk in the cold winter and to try to get home after you got off from the bus and try to get into your home, into your apartment or into your house and can't find your key and can't get in. And to go round and round, maybe you have to walk several miles somewhere else and then your phone is not working. And then you have to go round and round, round and round. And finally, through all the pain, through all the suffering, all the frost bites and everything you have to endure, then you arrive at home and you find out, there was a back door open. What a pain that would be. What a disappointment that would be. What a frustration. What a frustration that would be. God said, I have set before you an open door. After all, this is one of the biggest reasons why we are seeking Him in this season. We want to find Him. We want to be in line with His will. We want to hear His voice. We want to know what he's saying. Well, can you imagine the disaster that when he speaks now and when he opens doors, then we don't recognize it. Then we don't maximize it. That can be a major frustration. May that not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Remember, the quality of every human life can be measured in the profitable use of God-given opportunities while living in time. The quality of every human life, the quality of your life, will be measured in the profitable use of God-given opportunities that you have while you are living in time on this earth. I want us to move forward today. And the Lord is going to open our eyes to a few more powerful things. You know, I was so certain that we were supposed to finish this tonight and move on to the next thing tomorrow. And just a few minutes before we got into the service tonight, as I was praying in the Spirit and supplicating in the Spirit, more light came and I just saw, we are not done. And I don't know who it is, but there is an assurance in my spirit. I have no doubt in my mind, in my spirit being, that a number of people on this line tonight are faced with opportunities and they either don't recognize them or they are not maximizing them. It is so important that the way we relate with this area of the kingdom, this area of our spiritual experience, must not be like the world does. We are a people of destiny. Our case is different. We are a people of destiny. Our case is different. The world runs a different agenda. People in the world, it doesn't matter how they use opportunity. Opportunity for them is neither here nor there. Opportunity is always there for them to come to the Lord. It's always there for them to receive the best things of God. But you know what? It doesn't match them. The only thing opportunity produces for them is the open door to come into Christ. And until they take that one, any other opportunity they are using is futile, is wasted, is not useful, it's not substantial. The most important opportunity that somebody in the world who is not a person, a man or a woman of destiny, can recognize and use is the opportunity to come into Christ and to become aligned with the will of God so that their lives can come alive, so that their spirits can be revived. And until they recognize and they take that particular opportunity, everything else doesn't matter in their lives. No other opportunity, whether they may have it 24/7, it counts for nothing. Jesus said it. I had you going to Genesis 26. I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit here. Keep your finger in Genesis 26. Go with me here to John chapter 7. I want to show you something real quickly. John, the book of John, in chapter 7. The book of John, chapter 7. Let me read about 8 verses there. We're going to go back, by God's grace. I found out now we're not finishing with this tonight, so I'm not going to rush through all of this. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Father. We receive all that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for illumination. Thank you for the light of the Holy Spirit. We give you the glory and give you the praise. If you are there in John chapter 7, I'm going to read first from the King James, and then I'm going to read from a few portions of it from the Amplified. Now listen, just listen to me read. After these things, John chapter 7 from verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart thence, hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If you do these things, go show yourself to the world. You see, they were trying to trick him. They didn't really believe in him. They're trying to push him out. Say, hey, go and publicize yourself. Go and advertise yourself. Because nobody does all of these great things in secret, and they hope to be known. But Jesus knew what was going on. Verse 5 says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. They were not people of destiny. They were not people of covenant. They didn't recognize who was standing before them. They didn't know who their so-called brother was. They thought it's just another one, another man, another boy, you know, just another member of our family. They didn't recognize this is the open door to salvation. They didn't recognize him. So they treated him anyhow. Oh, whatsoever you abuse, you cannot benefit from, beloved. If God brought before you the open door to your miracle and you despise it because it was dressed in a way different from what you expected, you will live a life of pain and trouble. You will live a life of suffering and sorrow, even though God already sent your miracle. Naaman was a general in the king's army, king of Syria's army. He needed a miracle real bad to be set free from leprosy, the plague of leprosy. Leprosy was not only a disease of the skin of the body, it was a disease of the emotions, a disease of the mind, it was a disease that caused shame. It was a disease that caused embarrassment. No matter how powerful a man is, no matter how great a man is, no matter how wealthy a man is, when they have leprosy, they are put outside of the gate. There are places they can't mix. It was an embarrassment and a shame. God had a miracle for Naaman's leprosy. His name was Elisha. But when he showed up, Naaman looked at him and he despised him. And he thought, who is this? What's this? I thought he would do this and I thought he would do that. But look at what he's telling me to go and do. My brother, my sister, I pray, may you not miss your God-given opportunity. May you not miss your God-given opportunity for spiritual and natural advancement. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Some people come into the provision of an open door that God has prepared, but they despise it. They say, what's that? Doesn't even look like a man of God. Huh? Too young, too green, too poor, too broke, too uneducated. What's that? That can't be a woman of God. And I need someone who's wearing something like the bishop, like the pope. My brother, my sister, I pray for you. I sense in the spirit tonight, and I didn't realize that until just a few minutes before this service began. As I prayed in the spirit, I was going to move through this so quick. I was going to move it, so that we can go to the next thing. And I sense now there are people on this line, or people who are listening to this message. In time, at some point, they are going to hear this message. An opportunity is staring them in the face, and they can't recognize it. Many of them can maximize it because of what it looks like. The brothers of Jesus, let's go back to John chapter 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was a prophetic moment right there. John chapter 7, verse 5. You know, his brothers say, you go show yourself. And the Bible says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't believe in him. They heard what he was saying. They heard the messages he was preaching. They heard all the prophetic words he was bringing. They didn't believe in him. They despised him. And you know, one of the most popular scriptures in the book of Mark, very sad. Mark, I think you find it in Mark, you find it in John. possibly Matthew, Jesus said the prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. That means the place where you are most likely to despise the miraculous opportunity and open doors that God gives you is in the place of familiarity. Oh, shatalalaba. That's a prophetic moment right there. The place where you are most likely going to miss or most likely going to despise open doors, miraculous open doors of opportunity that God gives you is in the place of familiarity. That's why familiarity is deadly. Familiarity is dangerous. I don't care who it is, your brother, your sister, your mother, your aunt, whoever they are, no matter how close you are, no matter how much of their history you know, beware of the disease of familiarity. It can shut down your destiny. It can stop you from moving forward. It can stop you from getting into God's best. Beware. Beware. There is a place for a natural relationship. But when it comes to an office in the kingdom, when it comes to a status in the kingdom, you've got to step back and understand this is no longer natural. This is spiritual and it is kingdom. And something that can affect my life, that can affect my future, if I can lay hold on it, can be in this vessel. Can be in this vessel. Oh, I pray for you that familiarity will not cause you to miss your way. Familiarity will not cause you to stumble and abort your own destiny in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus was preaching somewhere. And while he was preaching, everybody was sitting down listening to his message. And suddenly here come his brothers and his mother. And they came to the door and they sent a messenger from the door. Hey, go tell him we are here. You know, his family, we're here. His mother is here. His mom, the one who gave him sock for many months. And all his brothers, the ones who changed his diapers. We are all here. All of us are here. The one who carried his stuff. The one who saw him while he was struggling and growing up. We are all here. Call him to come out. Jesus said, go and tell them. That's his own family, his own mother. His own mother who gave birth to him. He said, go and tell them. You want to know who my mother is? You want to know who my brethren is? It's those people that are sitting right here listening to the word of God. Beloved, there is a place for the natural and there is a place for the spiritual. A failure to recognize that in your life can cost you. It can cost you. It can cost you. May that not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. May you become alert. May you become active. May you become sharp in the spirit so you can draw the line. You know, this is the place for playing. This is the place for the office. And you step back and you honor that anointing and honor that place and honor that grace so that everything that it carries and everything it is supposed to impart into your life can be delivered to you. The Bible says in John 7 verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Now, of course, you know why. They were familiar with him. But they were not people of destiny. They were not people of covenant. So they said, go show yourself. Go to Jerusalem now. They didn't believe in it. Look at what Jesus said in verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. My time is not yet come. But your time is always ready. You are not people of destiny. Your time is always ready. You can do anything you want to do at any time. You can take your time and do it whenever you feel like. Because you are not people of destiny. You are not people of covenant. But my time is not yet come. He said in verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. You go up unto this feast. I go not yet up unto this feast. For my time is not yet full come. I'm going to read that. I'm going to read from verse 5 all the way down to verse 8. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, just listen carefully. If you do have an Amplified Bible, look at it while I read. John chapter 7 from verse 5. For even his brothers did not believe in him or adhere to or trust in or rely on him either. They didn't trust him. They didn't depend on him. They didn't rely on him. They treated him just like any other person. They called him by any other name, you know, their play name. They called him just like they called the people they were playing with on the playground. JB, LBJ, that's how they call him. JC, hey JC, what's up JC? They miss God. They miss God's best because their spiritual eyes were open. Their minds were dull in the spirit. They couldn't see this man walking in and out of our house every day. That's the open door to salvation. They didn't trust him. They didn't rely on him. And they would not adhere to anything he said. Verse 6. Pay attention to verse 6. Whereupon Jesus said to them, my time, opportunity. If you have that amplified, you see that is right there in the amplified. My time, my opportunity has not come yet. My opportunity has, my opportunity has not come yet. You remember what we said yesterday? Opportunity is related to time and season. Opportunity is related to times and seasons of life. It's the open door to the seasons of life. Jesus said, my time, my opportunity has not come yet. But any time is okay, any time is suitable for you. And your own opportunity is ready. Any time is always here. Why? Because you are not people of destiny. He said, but for me, my opportunity is not yet here. I pray for you tonight, beloved. Oh, I sense the Holy Ghost. I pray for you that you will recognize when it is time and when it is not. It is not always time. Oh, Sheila Babarada. It is not always time. It's not the right time, any time, to pursue something. It's not the right time, any time, to go to school. It is not the right time, any time, to marry. It is not the right time, any time, to raise children. It is not the right time, any time, to go into ministry. It is not the right time, any time, to start a business. It is not the right time, any time, to start a job. It is not the right time, any time, to move into a city. It is not the right time, any time. There is a time and a season for every purpose under the heaven. There is a window of time that is right. That is right. It is not always. I don't care. I don't care what the natural circumstances are. It is not always the right time. I pray for you that you will discover your time and your season. That you will discover your God-given opportunity. Amen. And you will discover when it is not there, when it is not it, when it is not it, this is not it. That you will recognize that. And you will not force the issue. And you will not try to make it happen by all means because you told everybody, because you want to save face, you don't want to be ashamed or embarrassed, that you will not force it, that you will not make it happen. That you will recognize. Jesus said, listen to this, Jesus said, my time, my opportunity has not come yet. But any time is okay for you because you are not people of destiny. And it doesn't matter anyways. The things you do have no eternal significance, have no kingdom repercussions. So it doesn't matter. But for me, I'm a man, I'm a child of destiny. Opportunity matters. God-given opportunity matters. I only go when he says to go. I stop when he says to stop. I don't just enter in because somebody told me they already gave me what I needed. No. I don't take it because somebody offered me that job. Oh, why don't you leave what you are doing? Because this one pays you better. Oh, and then I see that as, oh, this is a miracle from heaven. This is my way to advance. Not so. Taking that thing can be the end of your profitable life. Can be the end. It can be a trap where you are buried and you never come alive. I pray for you. God will open your eyes. He will anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see what you need to see. He says, my opportunity is not yet come. But anytime is okay for you. And your opportunity is ready. Anytime is always here. The world cannot be expected to hate you, but it does hate me because I denounce it for its wicked works. And I reveal that it's doing thy evil. Verse 8, pay attention to this. Go to the feast yourselves. I am not yet. He didn't say it's not going. He didn't say it's not going. But he says it's not going yet. It's not going yet. It's not going yet. Huh. You can take a step 1 year ahead of time and it can ruin your future. It can ruin the plan of God for your life. You can jump ahead of God 6 months. 6 months, it can totally mess everything up. I pray that will not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. He didn't say, I'm not going. He said, I'm not going yet. I'm not going yet. There are indices. I can tell when the circumstances have come together. I can tell when I'm at the junction. I can tell when it's favorable, fitting time. And I can sense it in the spirit that the appropriate time is here and it's now. And that's when I'm going. That's when I'm going. But I'm not going yet. I'm not going because they say everybody has to go in March. I'm not going. I'm not going because they say if you don't go in March, you may not get. I'm not going. Because you can go in March and perish with everybody. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Say, go to the feast yourselves. I am not yet going up to the festival. Because my time is not ripe. Look at that. My time is not ripe. He compares opportunity and the right time for an activity, the right season for an activity. He compares it to the ripening of a fruit. It is a fruit. But if it is not ripe, you don't want to eat it because it will poison you. It is a fruit. It has all the appearances of a fruit. It's hanging on a tree. But you don't want to just eat it because it is a fruit. Because it can poison you. It can stop you in your track. My time is not ripe. There is a time, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, there is a time and a season. I want to add to that. There is a window of time and a season for every purpose under the sun. Then he says in verse 11, Ecclesiastes 3, 11, he says, God makes all things beautiful in its time. Makes all things beautiful in its time. So if it's not in its time, it will be ugly. If it's not in its time, it will be devastating. If it's not in its time, it will not be profitable. God makes all things beautiful in its time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Then he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, the heart of the wise man knows the right time. The right time. He knows when the God-given opportunity is there. I pray for you tonight that this mystery and the power of opportunity will become unraveled to you. It will change your life forever. It will change your life forever. It is not always time. Jesus said, my time is not ripe. Listen, my term, T-E-R-M, my term is not yet completed. It is not time for me to go. It is not time for me to go. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I never forget several years ago, maybe 25, maybe almost 30 years ago, I was about to take a step. Way back then, they called it, you know, everybody was an Andrew in our country then. Everybody was checking out. And I had everything. Everything was in place. I had everything I needed to check out anywhere, go anywhere in the world. I was about to make my arrangements to go. And God said to me, I'm not done with you yet here. I'm not yet done with you here. It was difficult. It was tough. But I obeyed. And I sat put. And I continued to do what he said to do. It didn't make sense to me until 5 years later. Sometimes God needs to prepare the ground for you. Sometimes people do things because they want to save face. Oh, Rababa Hashataha. Grenimentala Kabasuta Bradishta Lakababaha. Manto Bradida Testehea. You are better off being on the same spot and let the world think you are not making progress. You were not created to please any man. You are not trying to show anyone anything. You are not trying to prove anything. The Lord, your God, the Bible says in the Psalms, is mighty in the midst of you. You are the only one who needs to know that right now. You don't need to try to prove that to anybody. The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. That's all you need to know right now. Don't try to do something to impress or to prove or to show that you are moving forward, you are making progress. Yeah, you are doing what everybody is doing. Yeah, you too, you can do this. Yeah, you. Don't do that. Give God time to prepare the ground. Ha, ha, ha. Your progress will be accelerated. You will be swift. You know that thing we call suddenly the speediness of God? Ha ha. You'll be amazed. Some who went ahead of you 10 years ago, they still be stuck in the mud, trying to find their way out of the ditch because they jumped ahead of God's time and ahead of God's season. That would not be your portion in Jesus' name. Jesus said, my time is not ripe. My term is not yet completed. Listen, he said, it is not time for me to go. See, some people listen to that. Listen to that. Look at that line. It is not time for me to go. It is not time for me to go. Some people look at that and they say, oh, that's not faith. How come you don't have faith? Huh? You should just have faith. You can go anytime. No, you can't. No, you can't. God doesn't follow us. We follow God. He is the great shepherd. We are the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. And until the shepherd moves, we don't move. Until the shepherd directs, we don't step out. He said, it is not time for me to go. We are not trying to prove who has the biggest faith. Several years ago, I'll never forget this as long as I live with, who had the privilege of helping a couple of ministers who came into the city and came into town and were trying to launch in the ministry and find their feet and do stuff in the kingdom. And they had come from another city. And I'll never forget, they were so much in a hurry to get that ministry started. And then I'll never forget one day they had a meeting with me way back there, several years ago. And our church, our ministry was just really there, just right there, just kind of going around and around trying to find our way, really. I never forget, they said to me, hey, you know,
This God wants to do more quickly. He wants to do something more than this now. We don't know what it is, but there's something. Maybe you are speaking too much grammar on the pulpit. Maybe you are maybe it's this or maybe it's that. Maybe you are not at all anointed. Maybe, they were in a hurry. And I never forget when they met with me. I said, wait. I only asked them to wait actually for 3 months. 3 months, just 3 months. But they had put all their plan together. They put all the plan together in the natural. And they jumped out. And they started launching. And they announced to everybody how they are planting a ministry that is taking over the land. They bought property. They decorated. They bought equipment. They bought everywhere in town. Everybody was talking about this great work, this quick work. It was not time. Within a year or two, they had to pack it up. They moved to another part of the land, another part of the city. Started again. The same story. Quick. They called everybody. Come and see it. Within another 2 or 3 years, they shut it down. It's not time. When it's not time, it's not time. And when it's time, it's time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I haven't done much in this teaching tonight. I haven't taught my notes at all. That's what the Holy Spirit wanted us to hear tonight. Opportunity. The power and the mystery of God-given opportunity. It can make the difference between whether you make it or whether you don't. Jesus said, it is not time for me to go. I pray for you. We're going to continue this tomorrow. I thought maybe we'll round up tonight. We couldn't. I don't know if we'll finish tomorrow. We'll just go with the Holy Spirit here. We're not trying to prove anything. We're not in a race for anything. We just want to go 30 days of planting the heaven as the Holy Spirit leads us. So by God's grace, we'll come back tomorrow and we're going to continue as the Holy Spirit grants us grace. I trust God that you have been blessed tonight. I pray that you will not miss your season. I pray that you will not miss your time. I pray that opportunity will become a powerful spiritual kingdom concept to you. God-given opportunity that you will not walk out of your place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.